From KCRW, it's Greater LA, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Welcome, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Nationally, that red wave of Republicans ousting Democrats from elected office never quite made it to shore. It is mostly a red trickle, but there's still a lot of counting left to do. Several races here in Southern California could take days, even weeks to count, so we won't know for some time which way the winds have blown or whether the local wave is progressive. So what do we know now? KCRW's Morning Edition host Cherry Glazer is here with a look at a number of races that have political consequences. Hi, Cherry.
Hey, Steve. Great to see you.
Great to see you, too. I understand there is a delay in the counting of some votes right now, or at least in the release of the count, and that it'll likely be days before any more LA County votes get released.
That's right. We could be talking Friday before we get the next installment of votes. This is definitely not the situation where it used to be, you know, you would know the outcome of most of the races by, election night or the morning after. In fact, we were talking with one longtime journalist today who was saying we could be talking Thanksgiving for some of these races.
Yeah, because some of these races are really tight. So let's go through some of them. We've been talking a lot about the mayor's race in the city of Los Angeles. Where does it stand right now?
Well, developer Rick Caruso is leading Congressmember Karen Bass 51.2% to 48.7%. That works out to about 12,000 votes, but only 500,000 ballots have been counted so far. And Bass reminded her supporters that in the primary, Caruso was initially in the lead, but she ended up coming out ahead. You know, we kind of had a warning that this could go down to the wire.
All right. So let's then talk about the city council races that have not been called because the numbers just aren't there. What do we know right now at this moment?
We have four races on the ballot. Only one involves an incumbent, and that is Mitch O'Farrell, who's running for re-election in the 13th District. That district stretches from Hollywood to Glassell Park. And right now, the challenger, Hugo Soto Martinez, is in the lead by less than 2,000 votes.
Okay.
So, and then we got the Harbor Gateway area, 15th District, and businessman Tim McCosker is up almost 30 points over community activist Daniel Sandoval. So that's a very different story there. Then District 5, which covers the West Side, Mid-City, where environmental lawyer Katie Young Yaroslavsky is running against nonprofit director Sam Yebri. Yaroslavsky has a double-digit lead there. And then we also have the 11th District, where Councilmember Mike Bonin decided not to run again. And lawyer Tracy Park is up 11 points right now over her opponent, lawyer Aaron Darling.
All right. Let's get to the L.A. supervisor's race. One race in District 3. This is between Lindsay Horvath and the state senator Bob Hertzberg.
That's right. And this is the third district where Sheila Kuehl is retiring. And right now, Hertzberg has the edge 50.9 to 49.2%.
Yeah.
But only about 250,000 ballots have been tallied there so far.
In a district of about 2 million people. So, yeah, still a lot of votes to count. Do we know about the sheriff's race? I know that Villanueva, the incumbent sheriff, is down by a large sum, right? What do we know?
That's right. We're talking about a wider margin there where former Long Beach Police Chief Robert Luna is up 56 to 43%. Only 1.2 million ballots counted so far, so potentially a lot more to go.
We also had a ballot, several ballot measures in the city of LA. Measure ULA. This is a housing measure known as the mansion tax, right?
Right.
For homes worth more than $5 million.
That's right, or real estate purchases worth more than $5 million. And it was backed by labor unions and providers of homeless services, the idea that the money would go to, you know, help pay for constructing new affordable housing. It only needs a simple majority to pass. And right now, the yeses are leading the noes, 53 to 46%.
Cherry Glazer, as always, nice to have you.
Glad to be here, Steve. Thanks so much.
All right, let's get some analysis now on the numbers by welcoming a couple of experts when it comes to voting and counting here in Southern California. Fernando Guerra is professor of political science at Loyola Marymount University and director of its Levy Center for the Study of Los Angeles. Paul Mitchell is vice president of Political Data, Inc., which provides voter data, and they consult with campaigns as well. He also owns Redistricting Partners, which is a firm that deals with, you guessed it, redistricting. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Fernando, as Cherry and I were just talking about, there are a lot of local results that are going to take a while to call. L.A. County won't post any more election returns until Friday, then again on Tuesday. Why is it that way? I mean, why does it take L.A. County such a long time to count these votes?
Well, number one, they are counting more votes than any local jurisdiction in the United States. They are actually counting more votes than 40 other states. That's a lot of votes to count. I think I would rather have them take their time and do it right than kind of rush. We voted. We do have to wait. It's sometimes frustrating, especially for those of us who live this. But at the end of the day, it's not going to change the results, whether we get them on Friday or even next Tuesday.
Paul, back in the June primary, you said that L.A. County kind of bucked the trend compared to the rest of California, that there was, you know, there was a late, more progressive vote that showed up. Did the same thing happen this time?
Yeah, so we're not sure. I definitely in L.A. City last time, there were a lot of voters who were seemingly holding on to their ballots until the last weekend, the last few days of the election, probably because for that primary, it was kind of like when we have a presidential primary and maybe Democrats or Republicans are looking to see what happens in the earlier states. They're trying to figure out which candidates are real, who they are going to vote for, and not wanting to, quote unquote, you know, waste a vote. In the primary, there were a lot of people who were knew they were going to be Caruso voters in the LA mayor's race, and so they were willing to vote right away. But if you were trying to decide between Karen Bass and Kevin De Leon and other more progressive candidates, you might have waited until the very end. And at the very end, you saw a lot of more progressive votes come in. And as the county actually processed ballots, you could see the effect of those later voting Angelinos and the movement towards Karen Bass in the very late returns. So it's really unknown what is in the mail right now, what is being processed from drop boxes. But I'll tell you, in LA County, my rough estimate would be that they probably have a million more votes to count than what they've already processed.
Wow. Fernando, can there be an LA City Council that is lurching to the left and a mayor, Rick Caruso? Is that even possible?
Well, the first part is definitely possible, and we're seeing it, even if not all the progressives win. And yeah, it is possible. I mean, I have no idea whether it's going to be Caruso or Bass. But partly of the reason that we don't know is that this is really the very first election with many firsts. It's the first mayoral election in an even year. It's the first mayoral election using universal vote by mail. It's the first mayoral election with voting centers, et cetera. So there's nothing that we can look back at and see the pattern. So it's very difficult for us who take a look at races systematically. There is no systematic, similar election in LA political history as what we're seeing today, not because of the candidates, but because of the rules.
Let's talk about one of these big races in L.A. County, which is the sheriff's race. This is the Long Beach former police chief Robert Luna against the incumbent Alex Villanueva. It is not a close race there with Luna and a double-digit lead, but also Measure A passed as well. Fernando, what was Measure A? This was the County Board of Supervisors able to fire the sheriff, right, for cause.
Right. So the supervisors put it on the ballot for us citizens to give them the right to fire the sheriff with a 4-1 vote. Sheriff Villanueva has said that it is unconstitutional. I actually voted against it, even though I'm not a fan of the sheriff, because I don't want to give up my right as a voter to four individuals. And so it may be unconstitutional. It should be tested, but it probably won't be tested. But I doubt that if they ever try to fire the sheriff, that the sheriff will say, you don't have a right to fire me. I got elected by the people. Who are you to then try to fire me?
What do you make of the sheriff's race and Luna winning right now by a wide margin?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about the mayor's race too close, too early. This one's just too early. It's not too close. It would be very tough for Villanueva, I think, to come back and be able to make up the difference, especially given how he performed in the primary. My instinct is that this is a done race and Luna will end up winning. Every single thing would have to go right for Villanueva for him to come back and barely win by 50 plus, you know, a couple of hundred votes.
There were a few housing initiatives too, Fernando. Measure ULA, Measure LH, both aimed at addressing low-income housing. Why is there, at least for now, more support for one of them, LH, than the other, ULA?
Well, let me tell you something. ULA is a game changer. I mean, we should be talking a lot more about this. It will raise anywhere up to $1 billion a year.
This is the mansion tax, right?
Correct, correct. It is a transfer tax. So every time you sell a property over $5 million, you add a tax to it. And of course, the real estate industry went berserk about it. I just don't see their theory that it's going to prevent people from selling property. But it will produce a ton of money, number one, and it produces a whole new way of managing that money. It's actually the general manager of the housing department that will manage that money, and he or she will have a 15-member board that will oversee the money, not the city council, not the mayor. And what they can do with that money is pretty significant in terms of the wide variety of issues that they could take on. If you cannot address homelessness with this amount of money, with a new progressive council and a new mayor in the next 4 years, nothing will be able to do it. We've given them all the resources and all of the mandates to get this done.
Paul, California might be in the rare position to actually decide the control of the House of Representatives. There are some competitive races here in the state, so let's talk about a few of those. Democrat Katie Porter is in a squeaker right now versus Republican Scott Baugh in Orange County. What's the latest there?
Well, you're absolutely right. It's down, I think, half a percent point there in that race. And that's a race that Katie Porter won in 2018. She held on to it in 2020 when other Democratic seats flipped back to Republican control in the state. And she's set right now probably to hold on to that seat. It is a very narrow margin, but there's data even from the primary and from past elections that voters who come in and vote late there are going to be more Democratic leaning. And that's not true everywhere. In parts of the Central Valley, we might have a member of Congress or a candidate, or in Riverside, we might have candidates that are in close races where we know those races, you know, shift more Republican in the late votes. But I think Katie Porter is in a position where she should be able to hold on, along with Mike Levin, who's also down there in the Orange County, San Diego area in a close race.
The 45th District Republican Michelle Steele, Democrat Jay Chen, two Asian Americans squaring off there. How's that one looking?
Well, that one, it looks like Michelle Steele will hold on there. They definitely did have a kind of nasty and expensive battle there for that seat. But all throughout the counting, it looks as though Michelle Steele has had a comfortable lead.
District 41, Will Rollins, trying to unseat Republican Ken Calvert. That was a seat that was redistricted and now includes Palm Springs. Where's that race looking?
Well, that is a really, really, really intriguing race. Ken Calvert was actually one of the leaders of the Prop 8, the ban on gay marriage. And now he gets drawn into a district with one of the most gay and gay-friendly cities in Palm Springs. And Will Rollins ran a strong campaign as an effective communicator, and walks into election night and kind of stuns everybody by coming out initially with a double-digit lead over Ken Calvert, even though his race wasn't seen as one of the top maybe five or even seven races to watch in the state. While he's, you know, got this huge lead right now, there is a lot of concern because while he's right now, I think, about 11 to 13 points up in the primary, that district shifted 17 points more Republican after the initial counts going all the way through the full voting. So if Will Rollins does win that, that would be one of the biggest Democratic upsets in the country and put California on track to actually picking up a seat in what would otherwise be a Republican year.
Paul Mitchell, Vice President of Political Data. Fernando Guerra, Professor of Political Science over at Loyola Marymount. Thanks to you both.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Coming up, politicians do a lot of talking in front of people. It's not very different at open mic night in Tarzana. Yes, Tarzana, how people on stage and off find joy with the soapbox. After this break on KCRW.